Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be all the glory. We thank God for this evening. We thank God for Word Wednesday. We thank God, hallelujah, that He brought us midweek. They call it Hump Day. And we thank God, amen, in the middle of the week that we can hear the Word of God and allow God to speak to us through our hearts, our mind, and our spirit as we grow spiritually and allow God's anointing to come on our lives, amen, to develop us as believers. We thank God that His Word will not come back void, but it will accomplish everything that God purposed it to do. I know up until this point in my life, the Word has changed my life dramatically. So I know there's much more ahead of me, and I believe by faith that I'm still on the potter's wheel. I know there's an amen somewhere. We're just vessels of clay. We're jars of clay. He's still forming us and shaping us. That's why in the midst of your mistakes, in the midst of your falls, sometimes your failures, you got to know in Romans 8:28, it's all working for your good. He said, and sometimes God is behind it. He said, if you look at Jeremiah number 18, we're not going to go there tonight, but he wrought a vessel. He made a vessel, and it wasn't right, and it was still soft enough to break it down and build it back up again. Come on. To God be the glory. So we're never out of the game and we're never out of the fight. So I thank God that He's a God that knows how to construct us and build our lives. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about this. I've been back and forth with the title, but however God delivers it tonight, I'm sure it's going to come out the way He intended. But I want to talk about breaking cycles. Breaking cycles. I was debating whether to entitle it Breaking Generational Cycles, but we'll talk about that a little bit. But there are all kinds of cycles in our lives. There are all kinds of things that try to repeat in our lives that are not good for us and good to us. But we have a way through God's ability to break cycles and curses that really try to block our blessings. And I'm talking about that tonight, breaking cycles. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we are a work in progress. You said in your word, He who has begun a good work in us shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, God, we give you permission to come into our lives and change us from the inside out. We thank you for the Holy Ghost being on the inside of every believer. You said we must be born again. And we thank you, Lord, for baptizing us with fire and with water. So, God, in the name of Jesus, beginning to your word tonight, we bind up any force that's not of you, and we thank you, and we give your name praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I get excited every time we go into the word of God. I love the word of God, and I pray that you develop. If you have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God, I pray that you get a greater hunger and a greater thirst and a greater desire and longing for God's word. He told Joshua, he just said, Joshua, if you meditate on this word day and night, you shall have good success. That's how powerful the word of God is. And I want to be successful. I know you want to be successful. And it's all tied up in God's word. In the name of Jesus. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 10. Again, we're talking about breaking cycles. There are some times in our lives I've seen it where God has done it supernaturally, and I've seen it where God wanted me to be a participant. And I believe that's how He does it. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Some things the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father will remove supernaturally. And then there are those times where he wants our participation in our deliverance and staying free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And life is a battle. Life is a struggle. We live in a culture. We live in a world where every chance, the opportunity the devil gets, he tries to come at us and destroy us and make us go back to what God has brought us out of. But we can destroy and break cycles that tend to trip us up and try to hinder us from being blessed and all we can be in God. But Isaiah chapter 10, one verse, I want to see this one verse before I look at the life of Elisha and Elijah, because I just wanted us to see this in Scripture. It's something about being anointed. That simply is Acts 1, chapter 8, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, where he says, don't even worry about when my second coming is going to happen. Don't worry about the new earth and the new world. Don't worry, glory be to God, about when I'm going to come and judge the living and the dead. He said, no one knows the hour but the Father, not even the Son, not even the Holy Spirit. The Father knows the time and the hour. And Jesus told them, don't worry about that. He said, but in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall receive power. Glory be to God. And my wife talked about that dunamis. She looked up and did a research on it one time. It means explosive. It means dynamite. It means the ability to do things that we couldn't do in the natural. When you got dunamis, dynamite, explosive power, that ain't no weak power. That ain't, you know, she preached on Sunday. It's not the time for wimps. It's not the time for timidity. We got to step up because the kingdom of violence take it by force. And we got to realize that we have to be participants in our prosperity and our deliverance. We have to do our part, and God will do his part. But watch this in Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27. Listen to what the word of the Lord says in this one verse. Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off your shoulders, and his yoke from off of your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. My God, my God. I love it. You know, we talk about cycles, and I never forget, you know, I grew up without a father, and it came in my earlier Christian walk. I was about to be married, and me and Pastor Rebecca were making arrangements and coming together and doing things. And I got the news that it was needed for me to take my boys and my two sons from my first marriage and raise them. And there was an anointing. There was a choice to be made. But one of the things that I thought about when I thought about cycles and I thought about curses is that growing up without a father, as a father, I knew, and my wife will tell you, when I met her, I told her, I said, I put nobody before my God, and I'm putting nobody before my boys. Because I already had made up in my mind at that stage that I'm not going to expose them to not having a father in their life. I wanted to break that cycle because I knew what it was like for me and my four brothers growing up without dad. I saw their mistakes. I saw my mistakes. I saw us not being covered. I saw the life of my sisters without a man being around. And I didn't want that for my children. So there was a cycle that I said, listen, it's not going to be easy. And I asked my wife, you know, we're getting married. Will you help me raise my boys? And she said, absolutely. We're still going to get married, and they're going to come live with us. And we raised them, and they did, got good educations. They're both working and doing great with their lives now. But I remember those early years where one of my choices, and I teach a principle, choice, change, and commitment. I call it the three C's to success. I gave a Toastmaster speech one time, and I came up with the three C's to success. All the letters begin with the letter C. Choice, change, commitment. We got to make a choice. We make choices daily. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam, there are two trees. The one of good and evil, and the tree of life. He said, you can eat of the tree, glory be to God, hallelujah, but don't eat of the tree of good and evil, because when you do, you shall surely die. And they ate of that tree, but they had a choice, and we have choices. So when you make a choice to break the cycles in your life, it is possible to turn every negative thing that the enemy tries to use against us.
Yes.
Change. Choice, change. We have to be willing to change. One thing about God, when I talk about cycles, Isaiah 61, I'm giving you beauty for ashes. I'm giving you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm giving you joy for mourning. What he's saying is that I'm going to break the cycle. If you had a cycle of pain and mourning and ashes, glory be to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want to give you joy and praise and success and victory. So those are the cycles that we want. But let's look at 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 19, and then we're going to look at 2 Kings when I'm talking about this anointing. That's why I wanted to look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 27, because we need to be anointed. That means that we need to be empowered by God. Pastor said it on Sunday, we can't just go to church, but we got to have a church up in us. We got to have these things up in us. And 1 Kings chapter number 19, glory be to God. 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 16. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, God. Here we have Elijah, who was complaining to God, and he was saying, I'm the only one serving you. And God said, I have men that did not bow to Baal. I have people that did not compromise. There are more prophets that are on my side and serving me other than you. And he got a little discouraged. But once God spoke to him, the Bible says, I'm not going to go there, but the earthquake came and the fire came and a strong wind came. And then God spoke to the man of God through a still small voice. And he came out and he got back on his mission. And sometimes he's not going to use the preacher. He's not going to use the word, but he's going to speak to you in a small voice. And when you know the voice of God, when you know that that is God speaking to you, he don't have to yell at us. He don't have to scream at us. Sometimes it's going to be in a still voice. Go ahead and apologize. Stop doing that. Stop going around them. I need you to work harder. I need you to leave that alone. I need you to change. I need you to love more. I need you to be more friendly and more kind. Sometimes it is the conviction and that still small voice that tries to stir us in the right direction. And when people hear that voice, go back to church. Read your word. Pray more. I need you to start tithing. I need you to start serving the local church. And he says it in a small voice. And sometimes people, they wonder, you know, why am I missing it? Why am I life so miserable? How in the world did I get back in another bad relationship? I'm tired. I need to break these cycles. How did I go back to prison? Recidivism and reentry. How do I keep, God didn't call me to be in a repeat offender. God calls nobody to be a lifetime criminal.
Yeah.
But the word of God can break that cycle. Yeah.
Glory be to God.
The word of God, you know, losing apartments, losing jobs, not finding longevity in certain areas of life. God wants to break that thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we gotta do our part. 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse number 16, after God said, no, I have some people that's going to serve me. Once you're taken off from this earth, you're going to be caught up in a chariot of fire. You're not going to see a natural death. Elijah, I'm coming to get you. But before that is done, I need you to anoint some people. Because the anointing destroys the yoke. Glory be to God. And watch what Elijah get instruction to do to anoint these men of God. Verse number 16. And Jehu, the son of Nisshet, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Melah, shall thou anoint to be a prophet in your room. In other words, Elisha is going to occupy the room. When you leave, there's going to be another prophet named Elisha, but I need you to anoint him first. He needs the anointing. Verse number 17. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left 7,000 in Israel. 7,000. He thought he was the only one. 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Glory be to God. So he departed this and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And with the 12th, Elijah passed by him, and he threw his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, glory be to God, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned back from him. He took the yoke of oxen, he slew them, he brought them the flesh and instruments and oxen, and he gave it to the people. And then he arose and went after Elijah, and he ministered to him. Part of Rebecca, Pastor Rebecca and myself, as pastors, as clergy, as prophets, as men and women of God, we're called to preach, because preaching inspires teaching. Amen, gives us insight to do better. But whatever it is, prophecy, to encourage, exhort, equip, educate, empower, edify, emancipate. We have a mission to get the people of God in their position of prosperity and power. And I thank God for the opportunity to preach and teach God's word to break the cycles that try to keep me and keep you bound. Amen. So we have the ability. And when, you know, even drinking, when we was in Jamaica and God told me to stop drinking. And I had my, you know, growing up in North on the streets, had my first drink, the older people going to the liquor store. And then when I got into those clubs in the party scene, me and my friends would drink. Even when I went to college, you know, in the pub drinking. So by the time I got to my honeymoon, I was a casual drinker. Never a heavy drinker. Never heavy. But just a casual recreational drinker. But still, even in Jamaica, not in the United States, not here, he spoke to us. I told y'all about that still small voice. And we both heard the verse, voice of God way in Jamaica, across seas, saying, for the rest of the honeymoon, don't drink anymore. And we had a wonderful honeymoon. We stopped drinking, and we're still married 22 years later because we yielded. Not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. Because God, he knew how he could break a cycle. Amen. My mom and dad divorced. My first marriage ended in divorce. So that cycle was going to be perpetuated. That cycle was going to continue. But the devil is a liar. Glory be to God. The devil is a liar. You and I have the ability to change the course of the generation coming behind us. That's why when Pastor and I anoint children and we dedicate children back to the Lord, we learned it from our bishop, Bishop Hilliard, when he said, I lay hands on your feet that you will never walk in sin and walk the wrong way. I anoint your hands that they will never know poverty or welfare. And I thank God that our daughter Kayla, as she's in her third year of school, that she would never know poverty or welfare. Amen. And she said, Dad, you know, she wants her master's degree. Yes, she wants to make a good salary. But she was chosen to go to a PhD program in Virginia. And she came back and said, it was not for teachers and educators. It was PhDs in every field of life. And she said, I found out something powerful, that people with a PhD makes sometimes $20,000 to $30,000 more than people with a master's degree or just an undergraduate degree. And she said, I believe I'm going to go all the way. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. She came back with new motivation. The master's degree was hard enough, but she came back with a new motivation because she said, I have been given the ability to get wealth, and I'm going to go for it. Amen. So I thank God that I was on WIC. You know, her mother was on welfare for a season in her life, and we pray that she never have to know poverty or welfare. Come on, somebody. We can break the cycles, or our children's children can break it, or our children can break it. Once we open the door, God can do the impossible. Glory be to God. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now watch with the anointing. I'm talking about the anointing that destroys the yoke. Elijah is recorded in the Word of God that he did 5 miracles. I'm not going to go there, but if you read 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll see the 5 miracles that Elijah performed. But Elisha performed double, 10 miracles. Because he said to Elijah, before you go, I want a double portion of your anointing. I want a double portion of your gifting. And he said, if you see me when I'm taken up, you'll get a double portion. And the Bible says he recorded 10 miracles that Elisha did. And we're going to look at one of these miracles in 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 40. 2 Kings, look at verse number 38. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 38. Here's a miracle, one of the miracles that he did. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, meaning a famine. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. This was the school of the prophets. All of the prophets were with Elisha. The prophets are subject to the prophets. And he said unto his servant, set on a great pot. In other words, we get ready to cook a meal. And seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. All the prophets, all the men of God are together. And they're about to eat a meal together. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full. And he came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. This man went out into the field. He got what he thought was vegetables or something good to eat to make a stew. He cut them up. He put them in the pot, and they were about to eat. Verse number 40. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating, they were already consuming it, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. There is death in the pot. We just consumed poison. And they could not eat thereof. And they called out to the man of God, Elisha. Now watch the miracle. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. My God. I'm going to stop right there. You know, sometimes the enemy tries to serve up through the culture and through what we used to do and through what we used to be. He tries to whet our appetite with the things that we naturally used to desire. And God is saying to you and I to break certain cycles, glory be to God. We have to develop certain diets and certain new hungers and certain new thirsts. Come on, somebody. What you feed the most grows the most. Hallelujah. In the world, I didn't grow up a Christian. All I knew was the ways of the world. All I knew was to try to satisfy my flesh. All I knew, glory be to God, was my experience and my exposure. But then I got into the Word of God. I got into church. That's why we need the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. The Word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. This word can change your life. This word will give you victory. And it said, once he got the meal, once he put it in the pot, he said, go ahead, y'all go ahead and eat. Number one, the prophets had to believe the man of God that it was okay now. Come on, somebody. And number two, he had to hear from God about instruction to put the meal in the pot to remove the poison out of the stew. And God is sometimes saying to us to break certain cycles I'm going to give you certain instruction. And sometimes partial obedience, I heard a preacher say, partial obedience is disobedience. And sometimes we go to church sometimes. We pray sometimes. We read the Word of God sometimes. We do the right thing sometimes. And God is saying, no, come all the way in. Come all the way in. Don't be double-minded. Don't serve God and mammon. I want you to submit. I want you to surrender. I want you to say yes, Lord, when you wake up, and yes, Lord, when you go to bed. Hallelujah. Pastor Anthony, that sounds, so religious and so biblical and so unrealistic. I know it does. But can we at least try to go in that direction? Come on, somebody. Can we at least try to do better? Can we at least try to improve in the areas that we fall short in? Because some of us, we read the Bible and we fall asleep. We read the Bible and we fall asleep. We try to pray and it gets boring real quick. And sometimes it's not going to come naturally. You got to push through. You got to press through. See, I love the Word of God, but guess what? There was a grace given to me. Again, I didn't grow up in church. So for me to fall into the love with the Word of God as a new believer, my friend Greg used to say, you love that Bible. That Bible tore up because I got a study Bible. I studied it. I highlighted it. I just used to like to read it. I was fascinated with the biblical stories. We were in a church where Pastor Glover Williams, Pastor Patricia Williams, Minister Brown, Minister Robinson, Pastor Roper, Bishop Hilliard, Pastor Phyllis, everybody was so versed in the Word of God, so it gave me a desire to, I want to know the Word like that. The way they preach it, the way they teach it, the way they breaking down the Word, and I'm applying it to my life. Because information without application is not going to do us much good. So I thank God that even at New Creation Church, when Pastor Rebecca preached on Sunday, she gave them process. She gave them preparation. She gave us perspective and ways that we can apply the Word of God to our lives, that we can demonstrate and manifest God's Word in our lives. And I, at this stage of my life, I want to see even a greater demonstration. Come on, somebody. Yes, he healed me of cancer. Oh, come on, oh, Shatta. Glory be to God. Yes, I got a manifested miracle. I got a testimony. Glory be to God. God healed me and delivered me of and from cancer. I'm cancer free. I'm a cancer survivor. And it's nothing but the grace of God. Nothing but the power of God. Nothing but a miracle from God. But I want more. Hallelujah. I want more. Help my children. Help my son. Help my daughter. He helped my wife. And it's still a desire for more miracles. Come on, people of God. And that's what God is saying. When you break these cycles, sometimes we see stuff in our children's lives, and we don't think they're watching us, but they're watching your every move. They're like, no matter what my mother goes through, she's staying in faith. No matter how bad my dad messed up, he get back to faith. No matter how disappointed my pastors are, they get back in faith. I'm going to go there. It's not in my notes, but go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We need to see it tonight. We need to see it tonight. I'm just being led by the Holy Spirit right here. Because, I'm talking about breaking cycles, but he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And the people of God, even myself, need to see what faith is again. Amen? Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now faith is in capital letters in my Bible. The word now is capitalized, and the word faith is capitalized. Amen? Oh, God, help me, Holy Ghost. Back up to Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 35. I told y'all I love the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will not tarry. Talking about God. Now the just shall live by faith. That's you and me. God wants this to be a lifestyle. That's why I said, when we fall away from faith, get back in faith. If you fall, try to get back in faith. Come on, people of God. He says, because the just, this has to be a lifestyle for us. I don't feel like going to church, but faith going to get me back in that pew. I don't want to start this business again. I don't want to go back to school and secure my degree. I don't want to start another job, but my faith says, go and try again. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's why God is saying, you know, we talk about the backslider and those that go back. I'm so glad they use the word backslide, because it's almost like we split and we lose our footing. We were going in a whole other direction. We were going with God. We were excited about the word. We were excited about the new found spirit in God. And the word says in 1 Corinthians that you and I, we no longer have the spirit of the world, but we have now the Holy Spirit, the spirit of the kingdom. And with this newfound spirit, that's what our church is built on, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, they are a new person. The old things are gone away. Behold, everything has become new in our lives. That's how we begin to break the cycles that we believe that scripture. That even if I keep doing the things I'm so used to doing, I was still in those clubs when I met my wife, Pastor Rebecca. I was doing the things I was used to doing, going to hear the music, going out drinking, going out partying, but God had another plan. Glory be to God. God wanted to break the cycle of me partying, me drinking, of me clubbing. God wanted to break that cycle. For 30 years, from age 13 to 30, I was what they called a partier. And God said, no, I'm going to break that cycle. Glory be to God. I'm about to break it. And I have no desire at this stage of my life to go anywhere near the clubs. Amen, somebody. Now, I love church. Ho-ho! I love having a good time in God's church. But look at verse number 39. But we are not like them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Then he continues to write, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's why I told you this word is powerful. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to just put a pen right there for a second. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to appear and you need to manifest. The Bible says faith gives you the hope to believe that that thing will someday appear in your life. And the fact that it didn't happen yet, the fact that it may not happen tomorrow or next week or maybe next year, I don't know. God says your faith will produce that manifested miracle. We have to stay in faith. Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, one way we can break cycles and curses in our lives is going after God. I mean, I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, because I need you more and more. I'm chasing after you, and no matter what I have to do, because I need you more and more, more and more. We got to chase after God. That's one way we can break certain strongholds in our lives. You know, some people don't even believe in generational curses. And I get it. The Old Testament, when he told them in the Ten Commandments, cursing the, you know, those that love me, blessing to the third and fourth generation, and cursing those that hate me. That's the Old Testament. We're under grace now. I get it. But guess what? There's something called familiar spirits. There's something called strongholds. And the Bible says, I wish I can find a scripture, but I'm not going to go there. It said, first you got to bind the strong man. In other words, that thing, if alcohol, see, alcohol, my dad was an alcoholic. Some of my siblings sometimes struggled with the alcohol. And that thing tried to become a stronghold even in my life. And sometimes you just got to bind the strong man. Got to bind the strong man. And when you bind the strong man, that's why it says a house divided cannot stand. When you bind a strong man, now he can't take your stuff. He can't let him steal no more because you done bound him up. Sometimes you just got to go through your house, anoint your doorknobs, anoint your children's clothing, anoint your husband and your wife, anoint, glory be to God, the car you're driving, anoint your workplace, hallelujah. The anointing destroys the yoke. I thank God for the anointing. Abraham, I don't know how I'm getting all off point like this, but go to Romans chapter number 4. I know how God is leading me. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to push me in the direction that I didn't plan for tonight. Amen, somebody. Romans chapter number 4. Abraham, the father of us all, our spiritual father, Abraham. The reason we are the seeds of Abraham, we're not Jewish. We're not of the Jewish sect. We weren't born Jews. But we are the seed of Abraham through faith. Amen. So that means the blessings of Abraham is on your life. The blessings of Abraham is on my life. And that's why we prosper. That's why we can go into the marketplace and make a lot of money. That's why we can go to college and get our degrees. That's why we can get victory over sickness and disease. Because the blessings of Abraham is on our lives. Amen. Abraham was anointed by God. But look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 18, and we're going to get back into breaking cycles. Who against hope, remember we talked about that word hope. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. We said? You said something?
No, come on.
Oh, okay. Pastor getting excited about the word. I thank God for it. Because Abraham waited. He got the promise at age 75, and he didn't have Isaac till he was 100. He had to wait 25 years. Sarah had to wait 25 years. And I don't believe you and I have to wait 25 years. But sometimes we do have to wait. It says he hoped against hope that he would be the father of many nations. Verse number 19, watch this. And being not weak in what? Faith.
In faith.
One time I preached strong faith, and only the strong survive. The way we get strong in faith is that we got to feed our faith. My God, help me, Holy Ghost. When you read the Word of God, when you come to a Bible study on Wednesday night, when you pray on Tuesday night, when you tune in to the Word on Sunday, if you're locally, when you go to church on Sunday and you're amongst the saints and there's an impartation, that's when you're not weak in faith. My God. And people look at you sometimes when you lose your job or you got a bad diagnosis or you've been betrayed or your haters or your enemies are coming against you, or life is not working out for you the way you thought it would work out, and you're still not weak in faith. My God. That's what's going on with Abraham here. He still don't have Isaac. He's 99 years old. Sarah is like 90. They still don't have a promise that God gave them way back when they were much younger. But it says he was not weak in faith. And watch this. It says he considered not his own body. In other words, he didn't look in the natural, now dead. He said, I'm an old man, but I'm not going to look in the natural. I'm going to look in the supernatural. My God.
Wow.
He considered not his own body. We look at our bodies, you know, when that cancer came. And I'm not going to lie to you, you know, especially when it had its way with me for a while, you know, fear and torment and pain and you know, trying to mess with your mind and it gets into your spirit and it gets into your psyche and fear and double-mindedness and doubt tries to overwhelm you. And guess what? You do look at your natural body. You look that it's not responding to the medicine. It's not responding to the treatment. It's going worse instead of getting better. And this natural body tries to speak to you. And God says to us through Abraham, this man was 99, and he still said, my body's not dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, there's still a possibility. There's still a chance.
Yes.
Because I'm not dead. God didn't take me home yet. There's still a chance for this miracle that he told me would happen to happen. And the Bible says, I'm going to keep reading. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse number 20, he staggered not at the promise. Pastor and I have been given a promise that God's going to do something mighty in New Creation Church. And we're going to keep moving forward. Sometimes we've been knocked down. We've been knocked back. We've been sidetracked. We've been coming against, you know, people have talked. People have put their mouth on the ministry. People have put their mouths on us. People have come against us. People have left us. People have done things against us. And we try to love. We try to teach. We try to preach. We try to turn the other cheek. We try to take the higher road. But guess what? We're human.
Yeah.
And sometimes anger gets on us. So sometimes, glory to God, righteous indignation comes. And we're like, God, help us. Lord, please, before I say something, before I do something, Lord, help. And people see the good side of Pastor Rebecca and I, the positive side and the optimistic side. And yes, that's the side we're going to give you. But guess what? Sometimes things come against us and God uses people sometimes to try to discourage us and try to get us frustrated. But the devil is a liar. Because we're not going to stagger at the promise.
Yeah.
We're going to keep, we might put that banner back in the pulpit on Sunday. Moving forward by faith. Pastor, we might have to pull it out this Sunday. Moving forward by faith.
Amen. Amen.
We used to put the banner in the pulpit to remind the congregation and ourselves, we still here by faith. The church is growing by faith. The church will produce by faith. The church will get all the resources by faith. We'll have all the ideas that we want with the technology. We want to put up monitors. We want new music. We want a drummer. We want a keyboardist. We want more people on the praise team. We want more teachers and preachers and ministers in the ministry. We want more helps. We want more servants. We want more laborers. Come on, somebody. We have a desire for the ministry to grow and multiply and increase.
Yes.
Because God gave us a promise that the church will prevail. And the gates of hell will not prevail against God's church. And it said, Abraham did not stagger at the promise. And watch what it says. Of God. How do we stagger? Through unbelief. In other words, we can hang our heads sometimes when the church is sometimes, you know, not maybe doing what we think it should do or going in the direction we think it should go in, we can hold our heads. We can have a pity party. We can get into that spirit of complaining like the children of Israel did. And it did not help them one iota. God said, I gave them miracles. I gave them manna from heaven. I gave them water out of a rock. I gave them a way in a desert, and they dared complain to me. I gave them 10 plagues in Egypt, and Pharaoh had to let them go, and they don't think I can get them to Canaan? They really don't think I'm going to get them into the promised land? They want to go back to Egypt? Are they serious? They want to go back to slavery? I brought them out here to test them and to prove them, and right now through that complaining and murmuring, they're not passing the test. So God challenges me and Pastor Rebecca sometimes. And sometimes I want to complain, I want to vent, you know, I want to, you know, say something, I want to do something. And God says, son, it's just a test. It's a test of your faith. And I don't know who God is talking to tonight, but it said Abraham did not stagger with unbelief. And maybe you're going through something, and God is telling me to tell you it's just a test. My God, it's just a test of your faith. I'm going to keep reading, giving glory to God. And watch verse number 21. Pastor shared this on Sunday. And being fully persuaded.
Yes.
She said, we got to be fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Not Abraham, you're going to do it. Not Sarah, you're going to do it. Not that the doctor, you're going to do it. But God was going to perform this miracle. All things are possible for those who believe. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God's going to make your marriage work, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. God is going to grow the church and bless the church and give the church everything the church needs. NCCM, get ready for better, because greater is coming, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. We're going to ordain more deacons. We're going to ordain more ministers. We're going to, hallelujah, have more leaders in the church of the living God, because we want to bless the community. We want to bless Hillside. We want to bless North. We want to bless Irvington. We want to bless, glory be to God, Elizabeth. We want to be a light in the community. We want marriages to be saved. We want children to get off of drugs. We want more kids to graduate college. We want more high school dropouts to go back and get their GED. We want more prisons and prisoners, Lord, hallelujah, to stay out of prison and go in the right direction. We want people addicted to drugs and alcohol to stay clean and to stay sober. Glory be to God. We want those with sickness and disease in their bodies to be healed by the blood of Jesus. We have a noble, yes, it's a noble desire. And sometimes we look at CNN, we look at this wall being fenced. Bill, we're going to get them $2 billion for the fence, not the wall. We're going to get them another billion to deal with the technology so we can keep the United States of America safe. And guess what? I'm all for keeping our country safe. None of us should be so blinded and so... saying they're wrong and they're right and they're wrong. We got to look at politics. We got to hear both sides. We got to do the pros and the cons. We got to come to our own conclusions. We got to be diplomatic. We got to look at and just not turn a deaf ear to certain things. But guess what? We also have to be mindful that God is in control. God is in control.
Yes, he is.
Who's going to be the next president? God already knows.
Yes.
God already knows who's going to be the next president of this great nation. And, you know, breaking cycles. Even we look at politics. They get up there, they campaign, and not even months later, sometimes years later, you see that they wasn't truthful. They weren't honest. And guess what? the country has become accustomed to politicians saying one thing and doing something else. That's a cycle. And only God can break that cycle. To bring honest men and women back that would keep their word, that would be committed to change, that would really be for the people. Only God can break that cycle. But right now, he's ministering to us for the local church, for our family, that there are certain cycles that have been negative throughout your lineage. You know, my mother, she told me the story, and all of us actually, why she moved to Baltimore, Maryland first, and then she finally landed in Newark, New Jersey. Because she said, I experienced racism to a degree down in Charleston, South Carolina, that I don't want my children to be exposed to. So she migrated, she came north. Because she didn't want us to be exposed to certain things that she was exposed to as a child. So guess what she was doing? She was trying to break a certain cycle. She didn't put those words on it. I'm putting those words on it because I can articulate it better than her. She was pretty much saying, I'm going up north to give my family a better opportunity than what I think Charleston, South Carolina can give us. And she was breaking a certain cycle. And now I'm preaching, I'm pastoring, I'm believing God by faith for certain things, but guess what? My mother brought me this far. We are all standing on the shoulders of somebody. Come on, people of God. My mother-in-law, Mae Thomas, she called the prayer line last night. She listens on Wednesday night. She listens to the word on Sunday. But guess what? That's Pastor Rebecca's biological mother. And her mother put so much into her as a young woman, as a young mother, so much so that my wife wanted to go back to school, get better education, work on Wall Street, get her go back to college. She did so many things because she saw her mother breaking certain cycles. Amen. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. You and I have an open door before us. You know, we preach it. God opened doors that no man can shut. What does that mean? It means that you and I have opportunities sometimes that our parents did not have. We have opportunities to go back to college. My mother only went up to the eighth grade. Amen. And she didn't have the opportunities that her granddaughter Kayla has now in her third year of college. But my mother was a smart woman. She was sharp.
Yeah.
And I believe my daughter, her granddaughter, got some of her brains in her. Because Kayla, academically, scholastically, she just has the ability to learn, the ability to get into textbooks and listen to the seminars and write the papers and understand what the professors are saying. And her grandmother went to the eighth grade, and our daughter's going to go much further, but guess what? It started two generations before she even got here. And that's what God is saying. There's certain cycles that your grandparents, your great-grandparents, even you and me, our children, don't have to repeat certain cycles that are negative. Pastor Rebecca and I, you know, being married, her parents also are separated. And we just don't want that cycle to just keep going on. Amen, somebody. And I thank God that God has given us an open door that no man can shut in the name of Jesus. One more scripture before we go tonight. It was so many more, but I wanted to look at the woman with the issue of blood. Go to Mark chapter 11, and then we're going to go to Mark 9. We're going to end with these two because they're in the same book. Mark 11 first. You know, the word of faith, meaning your word of faith movement, your Kenneth Copelands and Creflo Dollars, Bill Winston, Jesse Duplantis, the Word of Faith churches, a lot of their churches are built on this scripture right here, Mark chapter number 11. They call it the Word of Faith, but it's all Bible. You know, it's just a denominational type thing and a certain sect of the religious sect, but it's founded right here in Mark chapter number 11, looking at verse number 22. I'm not going to go to the earlier verses, but here we have the disciples with Jesus. They're walking. They see Jesus see a fig tree in the distance. There were green leaves on the fig tree. And then when he gets to the fig tree, he finds that the tree has no figs, no fruit. There's no fruit on the tree. But it looked, because it was filled with leaves, it looked like it blossomed. It looked like fruit should be on it. So Jesus went over there to eat off of the tree, only to find that it was just leaves and nothing to eat. And Jesus cursed the fig tree, a natural tree. Go back and read the entire chapter number 11 of Mark. And the Bible says the disciples heard him. And Jesus is trying to tell them, because he said it loud enough, and that's what we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. He said it loud enough for them to hear it. They walked by the tree the next day, and they said, Jesus, the tree that you cursed had withered away. And look at verse number 22. No, look at verse number 21. Might as well, because I just kind of put it in my own words. Verse number 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Verse number 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also may forgive you which is in heaven your trespasses. I didn't see that till now. Another way to break cycles is to forgive. My God, help us, Holy Ghost. Let go and let God, for real, for real. Don't keep bitterness in your heart. The greatest of these is love. We got to love. We got to love. We got to love. The Bible says God is love. And sometimes many of us have been angry. The fact that my dad left, I had anger. And it was, you know, it just wasn't managed. It just wasn't dealt with. And it impacted my life in my earlier part of my life. And he says, we got to forgive. Husband and wife, you got to forgive one another. That's a successful marriage. There is no perfect marriage in this world. And the husband and wife can tell you, those marriages that last and those marriages that have anniversaries, those marriages that have gone through some seasons, there's been a lot of forgiving. There's been a lot of forgiveness in that marriage. Amen, somebody. Because we're not perfect. And God is saying through this scripture that we can move mountains with our words. When we pray, he said, believe that you receive and you will have them. When I pray, there's an expectation attached to it.
Come on, yes, amen.
I can't explain it. You know, when our son had seizures, me and Pastor Rebecca prayed, and Marcus was doing well for almost 2 years because they said if he go 2 years without a seizure, he can come off the medicine. It was like 18 or 19 months, and he had another episode.
Yes.
And we were so, so discouraged, but we got back in faith. And that's what God is saying to you tonight.
Jesus.
Believe that you receive, and you shall have those things that you ask of him. So you and I can break certain negative cycles. If we walk by faith and not by sight, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the word tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, we need your help because unbelief tries to come to all of us.
Yeah.
We've been trying to produce and manifest something for a long time, and sometimes we still don't see it. And the spirit of unbelief comes in.
Yeah.
The spirit of doubt and being double-minded comes in. But God, we thank you that we want to break certain cycles that we can have the success and victory that you promised us we can have.
Yeah.
So I thank you for those that tuned in tonight, those that called in, that you would bless them and destroy and shatter and get rid of every negative cycle, whether it's generational or something new, that's trying to hinder them. So God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We thank God for the word tonight. We believe that we're going to see those of you in this New Jersey area on Sunday. Our service starts at 12:30 p.m. There's a word from the Lord for you. Please, some of you have been giving on a regular basis, and we thank God for you. But if you want to give that one-time seed offering, we would appreciate it. It helps us do the work of the ministry and help keep the doors of the church open. NCCMonline.org, or you can give to our Cash App, NCCM Church. The Cash App, the website, the post office box, there are many ways to give into New Creation Church. So we thank God for your faithful giving. Go in peace and serve the Lord. We love you. God bless you.